Morning. Today's daf in Arios is Gimel. We are on Beis Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting with the words Amar Apapa. I'm going to take a step backwards. We're going to go back to the two brises. There are two brises that are introduced on the daf today, and the purpose of these two brises is to demonstrate that not everyone agrees with the Mishnah. The Mishnah's point is that when you have a Psak Beis Din, and you have someone acting based on the Psak of Beis Din, so he doesn't have to bring Karban Chatzos, and the reason is very simple. Beis Din told me it was okay. And so from the standpoint of blaming somebody, of accepting blame, of being responsible for your actions, if Beis Din told me it's okay, it must be okay. So that was the first Mishnah in Horios and Dav Beis Din Aleph. And if you look back at the Mishnah, Hora Beis Din La'avra Lachas Mikol Mitzvah Samor's Betorv, Beis Din comes up with a ruling, and the ruling was erroneous, and it demanded that we violate the Torah. So Asa, V'Halach HaYachid V'Asa Shogeg Apiyem, and an individual violated the Torah, but based on the ruling of the Beis Din. And it doesn't matter, it says the Mishnah, Bein She'asa V'Asa Imahem, Bein She'asa V'Asa Achareyan, Bein She'lo V'Asa V'Asa Potter, Mibnei She'tala Beis Din. Okay, so there's a tli on Beis Din. He could just simply blame it on Beis Din, and it is. The fact of the matter is it's Beis Din's fault. So that's what we learned yesterday in the Mishnah. That was point number one of the Masechta. And to that, what we learned in yesterday's daf, in the name of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, is that not everyone agrees to that. What does that mean, not everyone agrees to that? Meaning that if you have a yachid, sha'asa baharaz Beis Din, if you have an individual who acted even though they did so on the part of Beis Din, not everyone says you're pater. The Mishnah says you're pater, but not everyone agrees with the Mishnah. In fact, as he points out, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel points out, it's a machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, and the Chachamim. And our Mishnah is only reflecting the Das Yachid of Rabbi Yehuda. However, the Chacham are of the opinion that Yachid Sha'asa Baharaz Beis Din is going to be Chayev. If you have an individual who acts based on the ruling of Beis Din, so again, in other words, he has a great excuse, but it doesn't matter according to the Chacham, and that individual is going to be Chayev. Now, truth of the matter is, as I mentioned yesterday, I'll repeat again today, it's really difficult to understand. Just from a conceptual standpoint, if Beis Din comes up with a ruling, and you're following that ruling of Beis Din, so why should you be chayav karban chatas? What you thought you did was correct. Beis Din said it was correct. So why should you be chayav? So the truth of the matter is, it's a difficult shita, it's a hard shita, and on top of all that, it's the accepted shita. Meaning, it's not our Mishnah, it is the opinion of the Chachamim. The Rambam subscribes to this viewpoint. So admittedly, it's a difficult position to understand and to maintain, but that's the position. When will there be an exemption? There's only going to be exemption in a scenario where Beis Din issues a ruling, and the majority of the Jewish people follow that ruling. Then and only then are the individuals going to be exempt. Why? Because now the Beis Din has an obligation to bring the Par Helm Davar Shel Tzibur. Because now they have their special carbon to bring. Only when they have their special carbon to bring do the masses become exempt from bringing their carbonos. So basically it's an exchange, it's like a swap of carbonos. Meaning, when the Beis Din brings their carbon, then and only then, the individuals do not bring their carbonos. But if the Beis Din is not bringing their carbon, for example, it's a minority, so then the individuals have to bring their carbonos. Okay, that's the machlokis that we saw yesterday. It's a machlokis between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, at least according to Rav Yehuda and Shmuel. And what we did is we quoted two brises yesterday. I'm going to go back, I'm going to reread the two brises yesterday. And you'll notice, which the Gemara is going to note a little bit later on, is that the brises are not given authorship. We don't know who authored which brisa, and that's the point the Gemara is going to make later on. But anyway, we're going to start in the Gemara. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, right in the middle of Beis Amud Beis. Zu Divrei Rebbe Yehuda. This is the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, meaning our Mishnah. But the Chachamim are of the opinion that when individuals are a minority, violate the Torah, even though Beis Din said that's what you should do, so they're still going to be chayav to bring a carbon chatas. My Rav Yehuda, the Tanya, Gemara brings in the Braisa supporting Rav Yehuda. The Braisa reads, "Im nefesh achas techet abishkaga basasa, hare elu gimel miutin, ha'osa mipi'atz mochayav, baraz Beis Din pater." So these three miutim are three exclusions from bringing the carbon chatas. As I mentioned yesterday, I'm going to say the same thing again today. We're not going to go through the three miyutim. It is explained, all three miyutim are explained in the Gemara and Shabbos. But one of the miyutim is going to be where an individual violates the Torah, but he does so based on the ruling of Beis Din. So under those circumstances, he's going to be punished. Okay, so that's the first brisa. Obviously, the first brisa is in agreement with our Mishnah. Now, again, I'll just make the observation. The brisa doesn't tell us that it is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara is assuming that. Why the Gemara assumes that? We'll come back to that a little bit later. My Rabbanan, now we're going to go over the Brisa number two, Ditanya. Here we have now another braisa. Adayin ani omer miyut kal shechatu chayavim. She'in bezin mevin al yedei empar. If I have a minority of the community that are chote, so they have to bring a carbon, meaning despite the fact that there's a group, but it's not a majority, it's just a minority, and there was no psaka bezin, seemingly. We're going to explain that better in just a moment. She'in bezin mevin al yedei empar. Rov kal shechatu yupaturim. Sharei bezin mevin al yedei empar. Now, what if you have the majority of the people who are violating the Torah? The majority of the Jewish people. Now, again, let's assume right now there's no Pesach Beis Din. So, the Gemara now is entertaining a Hava Mina, like a really interesting one. Well, if the majority of the Jewish people are violating the Torah, well, maybe you don't have to bring a Karban Chatas. It's almost like, the Gemara doesn't say this, but it's almost like peer pressure, meaning everyone's doing it, so must be okay because everyone's doing it. So what the Brice Tamalamar may amaritz, afilu ruba, afilu kula. So that's what the Brice is teaching us. No, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how many people violating the Torah. Could be the majority. Could be all the Jewish people violating the Torah. If you're one of those people, you need to bring a carbon chatas. Okay, now, b'mai. In this Brice, we obviously need much more clarification. Elam b'shigas maisa b'izin shalom b'hora'am. So the Gemara says, well, we're talking about shigas maisa. I mean, we're just talking about your standard shogeg. And Beis Din did not issue a psak, so Beis Din may have been shalom baharas. Beis Din means ma'aser shalom bahara. So the Gemara says, so what kind of conversation are we having? Meaning, if Beis Din didn't issue a psak, so of course there's no parlam davar sibra to talk about. If Beis Din didn't offer a psak, ella bahara. So it must be that we're talking about over here where Beis Din offered a psak. V'ha'ki ksiv me'am ha'aretz b'shigas ma'aser udichsiv. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the pasuk that we're quoting is talking about your standard choking. Meaning the pasuk that the Bryce is citing is talking about what would have happened in the event where a person is a shogeg without the ruling of a Beis Din. So ela lav hachikamer. So the Gemara says, so what we have to do is we have to go back and just reread the Bryce and understand the Bryce correctly. Miukal shechatu b'shigas ma'isa chayavin. She'in Beis Din mevin al yedei empar ba'ora. Ha'hein chayavin. Okay, so here's step number one of the Bryce. Step number one of the Bryce is talking about the minority. If the minority of the Jewish people are sinning, bishogeg, meaning because of a lack of education, a lack of yidia, or they knew but they forgot, in other words, but a standard shogeg. If the minority of the Jewish people are sinning, they're going to have to bring a carbon. So the she'ain beis din mevin al yedei empar ba'ora ha'hein chayavin. And you know that if let's say beis din issued a ruling, and you have the minority of the Jewish people sinning, they still have to bring a carbon. Yachol rov tzibur shasa b'shigas ma'isa yupaturim sharei beis din mevin al yedei empar ba'ora. So here's the Havamina. The Havamina goes like this. Look, if Beis Din issued a ruling and the majority of the Jewish people follow that ruling, do those majority need to bring a carbon? The answer is no. Meaning because now the Beis Din has an obligation of par helam davar shel tzibur. Therefore, the majority of the Jewish people are not going to be bringing a carbon. So now let's take out one factor. Let's take out now the ruling of Beis Din. So now, Yachol, I might have thought, So, B'shigas Ma'isa Yipatur Shari Beis Din Mevin Alein Par Bahara. So now I might have thought that if I remove the Haraz Beis Din, and when I have the majority of the Jewish people violating the Torah, maybe they don't have to bring a carbon. That's the Havamina. So, Tamalam Rami Amar Tzafilu Rubo. And the Chiddush is no. That if it's without a Haraz Beis Din, and you had a psa, if it's without a Haraz Beis Din, and the majority of the Jewish people violated the Torah, each one of them is going to need to bring a carbon. Okay. So what are we learning together in this Brisa? That the only time that there's going to be an exemption of a carbon is only when you have a majority of the people sinning and Haraz Beis Din, and you have a ruling of the Beis Din. But in other words, if you don't have either of those factors, so then there's a requirement for individuals to bring a carbon. That's what we learned in the Brisa. Which is now clear from the Brisa, as the Gemara is about to point out, but it's real, meaning as we now have said over the Brisa, it's really clear that if you have a hora, but it's a minority, they need to bring their own karbanos. They have to bring karban yachid, meaning the Beis Din is not obligated to bring a parhelm davish al sibor, and they, the individuals, have to bring a karban. So this Brisa is clearly of the opinion that a yachid or a minority, Sha'asa Baharaz Beis Din, even though they were acting under the instruction of the Beis Din, nevertheless, the individuals are going to bring a carbon. This is Brisa number two, and this Brisa reflects the opinion of the Chachamim. Now, Amara Papa, now what we're going to be doing in these next lines of the Gemara is basically just hammering the point, meaning we made the point already, but the Gemara is just going to hammer it home. Amra papim mimai dima lohein velo bezin. The Gemara now makes the following suggestion, a really interesting suggestion, which is that if I have the minority of the Jewish people who are sinning, under the instruction of Beis Din, maybe what Rav Papa now suggests is really there should be no carbon. No carbon yach, no carbon, no standard carbon chatos, because they did so under the instruction of Beis Din, and no parhelm davar shel tzibur, because you only had a minority, you didn't have a majority. So Rav Papa says, well, maybe the correct conclusion should be, well, maybe no carbon. The Gemara says that can't be. The Gemara says, well, look at the direction the Braisa was going. The Braisa was looking for an obligation for the majority. So the Gemara says, it's clear that the Braisa started with the assumption that if I have a minority of the people violating the Torah, even while under the instruction of Beis Din, they are obligated to bring a carbon. Meaning that was the starting point of the Braisa. That's the starting point of the Braisa. So Rav Papa's suggestion cannot be entertained. In other words, if the starting point is that the minority are going to bring a carbon for violating the Torah, so then by a majority, like would it even be a discussion? So So the Gemara says, so it's clear from the Braisa that because the starting point was only trying to learn a Chiddush by the majority, it's clear that when it comes to a minority, so when a minority of people sin, even while under the instruction of Beis Din, each one of them has to bring their own particular carbon chatos. Okay. So anyway, so the point just simply been hammered, and what we have now basically, let's just summarize, we have Braisa number one, Braisa number two. Braisa number one teaches us that when individuals sin, even under the instruction of Beis Din, the individuals are going to be pater. Even as a minority, not even, as a minority, they're going to be pater. Why? Because they did so under the instruction of Beis Din. Braisa number two says no. When individuals sin, even while under the instruction of Beis Din, they still have to bring their carbon yachid, the standard carbon chatas. Only as a majority while under the instruction of Beis Din, then and only then are they going to be pater. Now, Michti Tarvayu Stami, Tanan. Mimai de Kamaisa Rav Yehuda Basraisa Rabbanan Eima Ibcha. So the Gemara just now is curious. It's an important question. We have two Braisas. Each of the Braisas is anonymous. And Rav Yehuda Mashmuel made the assumption Braisa number one belongs to Rav Yehuda, and Braisa number two belongs to the Chachamim. And the Gemara now wants to know, why did he arrive at that conclusion? Why did he jump to that conclusion? In fact, I mean, the Gemara doesn't make this point, but let's say it out. It'd be a lot better if we would have flipped authorship. In other words, if Braisa number two would have been Rabbi Yehuda and Braisa number one would have been the Chachamim. Why? Because, look, we have our Mishnah in yesterday's daf, the beginning of the Mesechta, and the Mishnah says that Yachid Sha'asa Baharas, based in that when an individual follows, violates the Torah based on the ruling of Beis Din, our Mishnah says Pater. Now, who would we be more comfortable with assigning that to? The Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, which is the Shita of Yachid, or the Shita of the Chachamim? Obviously, we'd be much more comfortable saying that our Mishnah is going like the Chachamim. And meanwhile, because of the attribution that we just did, our Mishnah is now going like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, not the Chachamim. So why did we do that? So the Gemara is going to give a couple of reasons why we assume that. So the Gemara starts off, we're on the last line of Beis Amid Beis. Man shamalei de darash miyuta ki ay gavne Rabbi Yehuda yiditanya. So the Gemara says, we just know stylistically that Braisa number one belongs to Rabbi Yehuda, because here's another Braisa, which is going to be basically the exact same style. Ditanya, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, we're on the very top of Gimel Amid Aleph. Zos Torah sa'ola hi ha'ola. Okay, in other words, the Hare Elu Shosha Miyutim. So these are three miyutim. In other words, three exclusions that come out from this pasuk. If you look at this Braisa and you look back at the Amud Beis, you'll see that stylistically, this is exactly like, it's exactly like Braisa number one. And we know that this Braisa is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. So then when you put the two Braisas side by side, and you know that this Braisa is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, so the Braisa number one is authored by Rabbi Yehuda as well. What are the three miyutim? See Rashi, I'm not going to go through it right now. But in other words, it's an excellent tell that the first Braisa is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara says, I'll give you another reason why I know that Braisa number one is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. V'ibayseima adaymi ani omer lo matzitz mukumos laka Rabbi Yehuda diktani rov kal shechatu bezin mevi'in ayideyin parim. So, because it says that if the majority of the kahal were chote, So Beis Din is the one bringing the special carbon, the par. Now, the E Reb Yehuda Hamar Tzibur Hudamaisi Beis Din Lo. Now, if it were the Shita Reb Yehuda, so we know that he's of the opinion that it's the Tzibur and it's not the Beis Din. Meaning, I should have given a short introduction over here. We know that the majority of the Jewish people are sitting under the ruling of Beis Din, so we know there's a special carbon, like I went over in yesterday's introduction. So it's a par helam davar shel tzibur. Who brings that carbon? Who is financially responsible to bring the carbon? Physically and financially responsible to bring the carbon. So you would say Beis Din. I would say Beis Din. If I had a guess, right? If I, you know, gun to my head and I had a guess, I'd say Beis Din. Meaning Beis Din was the one who issued the erroneous ruling. The majority of the Jewish people follow their ruling. There's the Torah that says, okay, now there's a special carbon that needs to be brought. So I'd say that fault is assigned to Beis Din, who issued the erroneous ruling. Interestingly enough, it's a machlokas hatanayim, who is responsible to bring the karban. So, Rav Kal Shechatu, Rav Yehuda happens to be of the opinion, Tzibur. It's not Beis Din's responsibility, it's the community's responsibility. Now, if I could try to help us understand that a little bit better, why would it be the Tzibur, meaning Beis Din told them what to do? A, they should have known better, and B, they were the ones who did the act. Meaning, generally speaking, a carbon is brought by the person who was the one who physically violated the Isra in the Torah. Granted that Beis Din instructed them, and granted that Beis Din is our leadership, and they're the ones who guide us, but when all said and done, they're the ones who violated the act. So according to the Shita of Rav Yehuda, it is the Tzibur's responsibility to bring the carbon. So the Gemara says, now that we know that, when you go back to Braisa number 2, what's clear in Braisa number 2 is that it's not going like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because V'i Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Tzibur Hu D'maisi Beis Din, Tzibur Hu D'maisi Beis Din Lo, did not. Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shiva Shvatim Shechatu Mevi'in Zayin Parim. We're going to be learning later in the Masechta that if I have 7 tribes who sin, so how many pars do they have to bring? 7 pars according to Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because each tribe is considered their own particular tzibur, and so therefore each tribe needs to bring their own carbon. That sheet is Rav Yehuda. If I go back to Braisa number 2 says, who brings the carbon? Beis Din. So I know that Braisa number 2 is not the sheet of Rav Yehuda. So for 2 critical reasons, we assigned Braisa number 1 to be Rav Yehuda. Point number 1 was the Gemara stylistic. And point number 2 is that I look at Braisa number 2. Braisa number 2 is clearly not following the position of Rav Yehuda, because it requires Beis Din to bring this carbon, and meanwhile, according to Rav Yehuda, it's the Tzibur who needs to bring the carbon. Okay. Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, continuing now in the Gemara, this is now Rav Nachman quoting in the name of Shmuel. Now, we started the daf today on Beis Din Beis, quoting Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda was the Talmud of Shmuel. Rav Nachman also was the other major Talmud of Shmuel. And now he basically is going to make the same point that we just made, which is that our Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the Masechta, is not going according to the Chachamim. It's a Das Yachid, it's a Shitas Yachid. And the only difference over here is that he's going to assign our Mishnah going like Rabbi Meir, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda and Mishmuel, who assigned our Mishnah to be going like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, that's the only difference. But outside of that, though, the general point is still the same. Our Mishnah is not representing the majority position. Okay, so it's the same basic point. Our Mishnah is not reflecting the accepted opinion of the Chachamim, which is that the only time there's an exemption from individuals is only when they represent the majority, and it was done by Haraz Beis Din. But short of that, individuals have to bring a carbon. Even a minority of the Jewish people following the ruling of Beis Din, still they need to bring a carbon chatas for their action. Now, my Reb Meir, my Rabbanan. Now here, so how did he arrive at this conclusion? How does he know that our Mishnah is going like Reb Meir? Which Reb Meir is he talking about? So Detanya Zegamar quotes the Braisa. Ho Reb Asu. So the Braisa over here, really succinct and really vague. The Braisa just simply says, Horu V'asu. A ruling was issued and they did it. Not a lot of context. Not a lot of details. Rabbi Meir Potter v'Chachamim Mechayvim. So here we have a debate between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir says that they exempt, and the Chachamim say no chayev. Okay. And so with very little to work with, So obviously there's going to be a little bit of investigative work that we need to do as a Gemara in terms of what are they talking about and what are they debating. So man asu, who are the ones who violated the Isser? A ruling and then a violation based on the ruling. So Elim Abezdin. So the Gemara starts off throwing out a really interesting suggestion and certainly an incorrect one. Maybe it's Bezdin who followed their own ruling. Meaning, maybe over here what we're entertaining is the following. Bezdin issued a ruling, and based on Bezdin's ruling, all the members of Bezdin went home and acted based on their own ruling. So the Gemara says, that's not the pshat. Bezdin my time, I'm sorry. Elim Abezdin my time at the Rabban de Bechayve, Vatanya. Yachol ho rebeisim v'asu beisim yachol yechayavim tamalamer ha-kahal v'asu maisa tali b'kahal v'hora tuli b'beisim. Meaning for the Parhelm Davar Tzibor, we have two very clear roles. Beisim takes the role of the posek, and the Jewish people take the role of the ones following the psak. Meaning to get to Parhelm Davar Shal Tzibor, I need beisim to paskin, and I need the people to violate based on the ruling of beisim. Meaning if Basin was the one who issued the psak and then Basin filed their own psak, obviously what they did was wrong, but it's not going to demand, it's not going to require a Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibor. Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibor is only when Basin is issuing the psak and the people are following the psak.
But they have
doing
their own.
Right. And then the carbon is only going to be brought when you get the majority. So Ella Hora Basin Vasu Rovkal. So it must be that Basin issued a psak, and the majority of the people followed the psak. So my time of the Reb Meir, the poter. The Gemara says, okay, but then there's no other side. Meaning that's the case in which Basin for sure is going to have to bring a carbon. El Alaf. So here is now suggestion number one. And when I say here's suggestion number one, I know that we're going to see a total of five suggestions of what the Machlokas is hinging on. So here's suggestion number one. Hora Basin Vasu Milkal. So let's say Basin issued a psak. It's not the majority, it's the minority. And here now is a machlokas. Okay? And that was now one suggestion of how to explain the machlokas. It's where it's not the majority of the people, but it's the minority of the people. And the machlokas between Rameh and the Chachamim is our discussion of when I have a minority following the ruling of Bezdin. So we know there's no problem with Davar Shel Tzibor. That part's clear. But are the individuals themselves have to bring their own carbon chatas? So Rav Meir would say no, meaning they're exempt. And the Chachamim would say yes, meaning they're obligated. And that's the machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. And our Mishnah is only reflecting the opinion of Rav Meir, not the Chachamim. That's suggestion number one. And so that is the opinion of Rav Nachman and Rav Shmuel, that our Mishnah is only reflecting the opinion of Rav Meir. Here we go now with four more suggestions of what the machlokes is. No, everyone's of the opinion that individuals are a minority who follow the ruling of Basin are going to be exempt. Ella Basin, Mashlam Lerov Tzibor, Kamiflagi, Marsavar, Basin, Mashlam Lerov Tzibor, Marsavar, Ain Basin, Mashlam Lerov Tzibor. Another way to explain the machlokas is as follows. Again, we're at the point where what the, you know, it's probably theoretical, but we're at the point where we're exactly 50-50. 50% of the Jewish people follow the erroneous ruling of Basin. So we're at the midway point. But now, we could add another perhaps 70 more people if we counted the members of Bezdin. Now, we know they're the ones who issued the psak, and let's even say that they violated based on their own ruling. Are their violations going to be counted towards the majority? Interesting. So the Gemara now is suggesting that could be the machlokes between Rameh and the Chachamim. Now, to argue that they should be counted, well, why not? Meaning, they're part of the Jewish people, and they followed based on their own rulings, so they should be counted. What would be the argument? What would be the counter argument? Why should they not be included? So it goes back to the point that Gemara made just a couple of lines earlier, because we have clear roles in terms of when do we get to a Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibor. We have the role of the posek, and we have the role of the people. And if Basin takes on the role of the posek, so granted that if they follow their own ruling, that's bad, that's not good, but in terms of counting it towards Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibor, no, they were the posek, they're not the people. And because of these clear delineation of roles, so they can't be counted towards the majority.
It's not a clear delineation because in other cases that it's positive and everybody following, they're following their own things also.
Right.
So
right.
There's no delineation.
Okay. Fine. But that's the argument of the Gemara. Ibai Sami, here comes a third suggestion, says the Gemara. Hori Basin Vasu Ruba Shokalu Man Chachamim Rabbi Shimoni. So let's say Basin comes up with a psak, and the majority of the people follow it. And the Chachamim over here is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, the Amr Tzibur Maisi Ubeisdin, Tzibur Maisi Ubeisdin Maisi. The Gemara over here says, no, you have a psak by Beis Din. And you have the majority of the people following the psak. Okay, so if that's true, so then what's the debate? The debate is not whether or not you bring Par Helm Dov Shit Tzibur, of course you do. Meaning, this is it. We have now the exact scenario. Beis Din issued a ruling. The majority of the people follow the ruling. Of course you bring Par Helm Dov Shit Tzibur. What is that issue over here is, in addition to that, do the people also have to bring their own carbon yachid? So do the people have to bring their own par helm davishol tzibur? And according to Rabbi Shimon, tzibur maisi u beizdin maisi, the tzibur needs to bring and the beizdin needs to bring as well. So and then this could be the reflection of the machlokas of Meir and the Chachamim.
Anywhere where you bring two karbanos from the same thing.
Right. In other words, it's not bringing two karbanos. In other words, Basin has their responsibility, and the community has their responsibility. Okay.
Yeah, but you're still bringing two.
Okay. Fine. It's a shita out there. Ubeisdin might be by Sama. Now here we go with another suggestion. Shevashas Abaraz Basin. You have a tribe, one of the 12 tribes who are violating based on the ruling of Basin. Oman Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya Sheva Shasa Baraz Beis Din, also a Sheva Chayev. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Sheva is going to be obligated. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is contingent on its Tzibur, like we saw on the top of the Amud, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, since it's contingent on its Tzibur, so therefore, a Sheva does qualify as a Tzibur, and therefore they're going to need to bring a Parhalim Davishal Tzibur. Ibai Zema, here's another suggestion. Kigon Shechatu Shishavein Rubo Shokal, Oshiva Afa Pishen Ruba Shokal. Umasisa Mani Rabbi Shimon Ben Alazarhi. Let's say you have one of the two following scenarios. You have either the majority of the Jewish people violating the Isser, but the majority is only coming from six of the Shvatim, or the converse, where it is not the majority, but they make up seven of the tribes. So under those circumstances, there is a partial majority. Right, Allah Havdil, but like much like in this country, when we vote for a president, so we have a majority of people, and then we also have the electoral college, meaning it's based on state. So in other words, sometimes you can have one majority, and you cannot have the other majority. Okay, so similarly over here, you can have the same thing, meaning you can have a partial majority in that the majority is only reflected by the people, or the majority is reflected by the tribes. In any event, if you have a partial majority, is there going to be a requirement of Parhelm Davishol Tzibur? So the Gemara says that could be the machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. So, and the Mishnah would be, and one of the opinions would be subscribing to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Did Tanya? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Mishmo, he says in his own name, meaning in the name of Elazar, Chatu Shisha, Vehein Rubo, if six tribes sin, but those six tribes represent the total majority of the Jewish people. Or let's say it's seven tribes, but they don't represent the majority. Chayav, and under those circumstances, they would be obligated to bring a karban, meaning that that does qualify as a majority, and therefore there would be a requirement to bring a karban. Okay. Ad Khan, that takes us to the end of that sugya of the Gemara. So where do we stand right now in the Gemara? On Horios Daf Gimel. Basically, I'm gonna summarize it nice and neatly. Basically, our Mishnah taught us that when an individual follows the ruling of Beis Din, Beis Din issued a very clear psak that this is mutter, even though it's not. They were wrong. So, in an individual followed that psak, our Mishnah teaches us that individual does not need to bring a carbon chatas because it was issued by Beis Din. The ruling was issued by Beis Din. Now, Beis Din does not have to bring Parhelm Davishol Tzibur because clearly he's not the majority. But he himself is going to be exempt. That's our Mishnah. What we have learned over the course of yesterday's daf and today's daf is that that's only a shitas yachid. That's a das yachid. According to Rabbi Yehuda Mashmol, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Nachman Mashmol, it's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. But in other words, but according to these Amarayim, our Mishnah is only reflecting the opinion of a das yachid. However, the majority position is that when a minority, an individual or a minority of the Jewish people are following the ruling of Beis Din, so they are obligated to bring a Karban Chatas. It is only when it is the majority of the Jewish people who are following the erroneous ruling of Beis Din, then and only then do the individuals become exempt from bringing the Karban Chatas, and the Beis Din, or according to some opinions, the Tzibor, is obligated to bring the Parhelm Davishol Tzibor. Okay, that's, honestly, that's a nice brief summary of everything we saw.
And it's accepted?
And that, right, and that's accepted viewpoint.
So what is the, when Beis Din believes something and minority is hearing, there's nothing to clear the head. There's no korban for the head.
Well, right. Well, I tell you what I've been thinking about. If, let's say, right, in other words, it's going to take some time to get to the majority. Meaning that, in other words, you know, everyone's not doing it at the exact same time. So as individuals now are violating this particular issue because Beis Din issued a ruling, so as individuals now, every one of them has to bring Karban Chatas, and then when you get to the over 50% point, when you get to the 51% mark, so now exemption across the board.
No, now, before the 50%, the person, nobody brings anything.
No, and again, that's our Mishnah.
Yes.
But that's not the accepted viewpoint. The accepted viewpoint is the Chachamim. Individuals have to bring a Karban Chatas. So I'm just curious now, again, to tell you what I was thinking about. So when you get to the 51% point, so they were all now exempt. They certainly were Makdish or Karban. I mean, it doesn't have to be, but if they were, what happens when they're Makdish or Karban? What happens when they're Makdish and they're Makar of the Karban, and now the Karban becomes unnecessary? Like, it gets messy.
But also the betting would be counted toward making the majority of 51%.
That was a debate.
With the Gemara. Is accepted?
I don't know. That part I don't know.
It would be an example of such a suck.
We're going to go over many different examples. The Gemara later on is going to talk about where Beis Din issued a ruling that chaylev is mutter. You're allowed to eat chaylev. The Gemara is going to go over numerous examples. Okay. Amar Rav Asi, uvaharaha halach acharov yoshe eretz yisrael. Now, in terms of, we have to establish majority of the Jewish people. Majority of the Jewish people only living in Israel, meaning we don't count. Okay. Don't take my comment out of context. But we don't. In other words, regarding the halacha, parhel and davar shel tzibor, we don't count. We, the Jews in the diaspora, don't count. Meaning, it's only Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. How do I know that? So it's really interesting. The Gemara is going to quote a pasuk from Navi, right from the beginning of Sefer Malachim, Perikhes, that the Jews outside of Israel don't count vis-a-vis this particular halacha. When Shlomo built the Beis Hamikdash, so he made a chag. He made a long dedication. Chanukah Sabayis. So v'chol Yisrael emo kal gadom levo chamas ad nacham Mitzrayim. And it included all the Jews living in Israel. From levo chamas to nacham Mitzrayim, those are the borders of Israel. Lefnei Hashem lokenu shivas yamim v'shivas yamim arba asar yom. 7 days plus another 7 days, it was a total of 14 days. Now, elsewhere the Gemara wonders how come the Navi has to do math for us. Meaning we know 7 plus 7 is 14. The Gemara elsewhere is bothered by that, but anyway, Michti. Ksivichol Yisrael imo. So Kahal Gadol. So the pasuk starts off by saying in the entirety of the Jewish people, and then it delineates the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Why does it need to do that? Malavo Chamas Anachem Mitzrayim Lamali. What was the purpose of that? Shema Mina Hani Hu Dikrei Kal Avahanach Lo Dikrei Kal. So the Gemara says because it's a definitional point. Who's called a Kahal? Only those people living within the borders of Eretz Yisrael. You're living outside the borders of Eretz Yisrael. You're a Jew. You're obligated in the mitzvot, etc., etc. But you're not part of the kahal. The part of the kahal is only those people living in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, establishing the parhelm davreshel tzibur kahal, synonymous in this regard. So establishing who the majority is, it's only those people living in Israel. Okay. The next pieces of Gemara are going to be a little bit tricky because, and we're going to see a lot of this in Masechta Horios. The question moving from points of obligation to points of exemption, back to points of obligation, it can get messy. I'll give you an example, and the reason why I'm giving this particular example is because this is the Gemara coming up on Daf Yud in Arios. We'll see it a week from now. And the Gemara is going to use that as a platform to discuss this. Okay? You're a regular Kohen, not the Kohen Gadol. You're a regular Kohen and you sinned. Okay? You violated one of the Isurei Krisus of the Torah. Bishogim. So now you have to bring a regular Karban Chatas, meaning from this standpoint, you're a regular citizen. And then, you get tapped, and now you become the Kohen Gadol. Now, as we learned in yesterday's introduction, a Kohen Gadol has a special carbon chatas that he needs to bring. So he sinned as a yachid, as a regular, as a normal person, and now his status changes. So does his carbon need to change? Okay? And then you can ask the question the other direction as well. Meaning, he sinned as a Kohen Gadol, and then he got demoted. Okay, okay. And obviously, you know, all this can get messy. So over here now, we're not talking about the Kohen Gadol. We're talking now about a Tzibor, but we know that the only requirement for Par Halam Davar Shel Tzibor is only when you have the majority of the Jewish people sinning. If it's a minority, there's no Par Halam Davar Shel Tzibor. Okay. So, Pshita, Merubim Bin Nismatu. So let's say you had a majority, and then you no longer have a majority. How do you lose a majority? So, truth of the matter is, there can be a number of examples. One example, which Rashi brings down, is that of those majority of people who sinned, some of them died. They don't need a kapara anymore. So in other words, then you had enough of them die, where they no longer represent the majority. I'll give you another example, based on the Gemara we just learned together. Let's say you had a majority of the Jewish people sinning, and then you had a mass of Jewish people, a significant number of Jewish people leave Eretz Yisrael. Now they no longer count. So under those circumstances, so you go from a rov down to a miut. So now, Hainu Plukta de Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan. So the Gemara says that's the machlokes between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. What are we talking about, the machlokes between Rav Shimon and Chachamim? This is the Gemara in Daf Yud, coming up a week from now, which is that if a Kohen or a Nasi, if they sinned before they were appointed either the Kohen or the Nasi, and then they did not yet bring the Karban, now as a Kohen, and then they get tapped, either to become the Kohen or to become the Nasi. So now what? What Karban do they bring? So according to the Chachamim, so nothing, in terms of the carbon, nothing changes. If they sinned as an individual, so then they bring a carbon as an individual. That is the sheet of the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon says no. Rabbi Shimon says that if they learn about their sin, meaning they sinned as an individual, but if they learned about their sin, if the yediyah comes after they get tapped, so then they have to bring the carbon as a Kohen Gadol or as a Nasi. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Here, says the Gemara, if we have a majority and it gets downgraded to minority, so the Gemara says, obviously, that is representative of the Machlokes, Rabbi Shimon, the Chacham. And Gemara says, like that part's clear. However, Mu'atim and Nisrabu Mai. But let's go now in the other direction, where the Basin issued a ruling, it's only a minority of people who sin, so there's no Parhelm, Davishal, Sebor, and then the minority turns into the majority. Again, how can that be? So let's say, again, let's just use the same scenario. Of the majority of people who didn't sin, a lot of them just died. So now the population shifts, and now you have a majority of the people now who become the sinners. So now we went from a minority to a majority. So now my, me plea Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan, Rabbi Shimon Dalza Basu Yediyah, Mechayev. So according to Rabbi Shimon says, what's significant? Yediyah is significant. So therefore you be Chayev. And the Chachamim would tell you, no. In other words, the Chachamim said, much like the case of the Kohen before becoming Kohen Gadol, Nasi before becoming Nasi. So what's significant is when they sinned, and that's the only time that's significant here too. In other words, when the Jewish people sinned, they were a minority. Nothing's going to change. So the Gemara says, is now the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim going to be the same machlokas over here? The Tisbra, the Gemara says, no. And the Gemara says, there's no discussion to entertain over here. So the Gemara says, no. Look, Rabbi Shimon's entertaining a discussion, but I'll tell you when. When he did the chait, there's some carbon to bring. And when he found out about it, there's some carbon to bring. Meaning, in both the points of the actual violation and the time that he discovers it, there's a carbon to bring. But yediyah de lo chatam ishamalei. So the Gemara says, but over here, if it's a minority of the Jewish people, there's no carbon to bring. Meaning Rabbi Shimon is not going to give significance to Yediyah if when at the time of the actual violation, there's no carbon to bring. And the Gemara spells out this point. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, you need the violation to have a carbon coming along with it, and you need the Yediyah to have a carbon coming along with it. Over here in our scenario, there's simply nothing to talk about. If a minority of the people follow the ruling of Beis Din, there's simply no carbon. The fact that at a later point in time, the minority becomes the majority, okay, but that's not significant, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, next. Ibai Lahu. Horo Beis Din Chelev Mutter, V'asu Miyot Akal. V'chazur Beis Din Bahen, V'horu V'asu Miyot. Acher. Mahu. Gemara now is going to entertain a lot of, you know, it's abstract in from our perspective, meaning a lot of this is going to be theoretical, but just conceptually, a lot of questions regarding how does this majority thing work? Meaning, let's say, the first example of the Gemara. Let's say Beis Din issues a ruling, the minority of the Jewish people now are eating chalev based on the ruling of Beis Din. Okay. Then, along comes another Beis Din issuing basically the same ruling, and you have another minority of the Jewish people eating chalev, a separate minority. And then, if I took minority number one and minority number two and I put them together, so that equals, that totals the majority. Can we do that? Meaning, even though the minority is made up of two different psakim of Beis Din. Kevan de Shei Yediyas Nino La Mitzarev, O Dilma, Kevan de Yidivi de Chelevu Mitzarev. So do we look at it from the standpoint of Beis Din issuing a ruling? Meaning, is this a function of Beis Din issuing a ruling? And over here, with each Beis Din, you only have a minority? Or no? Do we look at the totality of the Jewish people who sin based on a ruling of Beis Din? And since you have the totality being a majority, so therefore you have the carbon. So the Gemara says, now let's walk into the next question with an assumption. This Imtim Salomer style of the Gemara is very common, where the Gemara asks a question. The Gemara doesn't answer the question, but the Gemara moves on to its next question with an assumption. So here, let's assume that that the two minorities do add up, even though it was issued by two different Beis Dins. The Gemara says, let's move on to the next question. Miut bechelev sha'al gabe hakeva, umiut bechelev sha'al gabe dakin maho. Let's say, Beis Din offered one heter, which is that you're allowed to eat the fat that is lining the fourth stomach of the animal, and then Beis Din issued another ruling that we're allowed to eat the fat of the intestines. Both of those qualify as chelev. There are different chelevs of the animal, different fats of the animal, and you have one minority group eating the fats of the stomach. You have another minority group eating the fats of the intestines. So hacha vada kevin to betray cry kasi lo mitzarev. On one hand, those are two rulings of Beis Din based on different sources in the Torah. Odima kevin to ide chelev who mitzarev. Or the Gemara says no. In other words, there are two different rulings, but they both revolve around chelev, and therefore they should combine. V'imtim solam hashem chelev who mitzarev. So the Gemara says again. Let's move on to question number three. And let's assume that, look, it's chelev. It's two different chelevs, but it's chelev. So the Gemara says, Mir bechelev, Mir bedamahu. One Beis Din issued a ruling regarding chelev. Let's call it even the same Beis Din. The same Beis Din also issued a ruling regarding blood. Again, these are really gross errors on the part of Beis Din. Like I commented yesterday. Hard to imagine that Beis Din made such a gross error, but again, we're entertaining the discussion. So the Beis Din issued a ruling regarding fats. Beis Din also issued a ruling regarding blood. You're allowed to eat fat, you're allowed to eat blood. So you have a minority of the Jewish people eating fat. You have a minority of the people, Jewish people eating blood. So now, do they combine? So on one hand, two different Isurim in the Torah, so therefore they shouldn't combine. On the other hand, it's the same carbon that's brought for Dam and for Chelev, meaning same carbon chatas, so maybe they should combine. Maybe that's enough to link the two together. The intim salam are kevin to carbon shava mitzarev. Now the Gemara says, let's move on to the next question. Let's assume that because it's the same carbon, so therefore they should be mitzarev. A minority of the people ate chelev based on the ruling of Beis Din. A minority of people worshipped avodah zara because of the ruling of Beis Din. Okay. Now, a carbon for avodah zara is not the same as a carbon for your standard Isurei Kares. The carbon for Avodah Zarah is a different carbon. We'll talk more about that later in the Masechta, but it's a different carbon that's brought. So, ha'chavada in Isur and Shavah vein carbon and Shavah. So now, the Isur is not the same, and the carbon is not the same. On the other hand, if done intentionally, the punishment is Kares for both. So maybe that's enough to combine and create a rov to create a majority. Take with the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Ibai lehu. Hora Beis Din Shechelev Motiv Asu Miyut HaKahal Umeis also based in. Let's say you had based in issue a ruling that chelav is permitted, and a minority of the Jewish people followed it. That based in died. Vamad based in acher v'chazu v'haru v'asu miut acher. So another based in, a totally new based in, issues the same ruling, and another minority now eats it. And now ali b'demand amr based in ma'isi loti balach tahal esnehu. Now the Gemara says, now it goes back to the question that we discussed on the top of this Amud. Who brings the Parhelm Davish Shal Tzibur? Again, you have two options. It's either Beis Din or the Tzibur. If it's Beis Din's responsibility, and this Beis Din who issued the first ruling, they died, so now the death is enough of a kapara. And they therefore certainly have no obligation to bring a carbon. The next Beis Din who issued the same ruling are not going to have to bring a carbon because only a minority followed the ruling. The Gemara says, okay, that part I get. Alakiti balach aliba demand amr tzibur maisi. My. So the Gemara says the question becomes relevant when you take the position that the community has to bring the parhelm davish al tzibur. So my. Tzibur hu kai. Odilma yidia dahu bezdin dahu rabi'inan teku. On one hand, you do have a tzibur because you have two minorities that get mixed together to become the majority. On the other hand, the two minorities were not following the same bezdin. And maybe as part of the requirement, even if you subscribe to the position that it's the tzibur that needs to bring the karban, but that's maybe only in a circumstance where the tzibur are following one psak of one Beis Din. Take with the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Amar of Yonasan. Okay, from here into the Mishnah, really interesting discussion. What, as we've been discussing since yesterday, the requirement to bring the Parhelm Davish Shel Tzibur is only when you have a ruling of Beis Din. Now, generally speaking, how does the ruling of Beis Din work? So, a matter comes in front of Beis Din. Beis Din sits. Beis Din adjudicates. We're talking about halacha. We're not talking about a court case. We're not talking. But still, Beis Din sits. Beis Din will deliberate. Right, adjudicate is probably not the best word. Beis Din will deliberate, and then Beis Din will issue a ruling. Does every person in Beis Din need to agree to that ruling? No, of course not. Meaning you have a majority. And if a majority goes in one direction, that's going to be the ruling of Beis Din. Okay. If I didn't have the upcoming Gemara, so I would have told you, you don't need every member of Beis Din to be on board with the ruling. All you need is a majority, because that's the standard operating procedure of Beis Din. You follow the majority, both in terms of adjudication and in terms of psak. What we're going to learn together in the Gemara is that there is an opinion that states very clearly that I need every member of the Beis Din to agree to this particular ruling in order to become eligible and qualify for Parhelm Davar. Okay, really interesting opinion. Amar Rebbe Yonasan, Mea Shiyashu Laharos. Now the number that's chosen over here is strange. It's a little bit hard to understand. But if let's say you have 100 members of Beis Din, I know Beis Din is made up of 70, 71. We shouldn't have an even number of Beis Din. Beis Din doesn't exceed 71. I know the number 100 is a strange number. I'm acknowledging that. It's not going to stop me from going forward. So Meir Shiyashu Laharos, if you have 100 members of Beis Din sitting down, Ein Chayavin Ad Sheyareku Lan Shenemar V'im Kol Adas Yisrael Yishku Ad Sheyishku. Sorry, I read that wrong. And that's an important word that I mispronounced. V'im kol adas Yisrael yishku. If the entirety of the Jewish people were shogeg, meaning you need the entire membership of Beis Din to agree to this particular ruling, ad sheyishku kulan, ad shetifshot hara b'chol adas Yisrael. So, again, I have to try to be as clear as possible about this point. In a standard ruling of Beis Din, you follow the majority. Because that's how Beis Din works. But to become eligible for Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibur, you have to have a unanimous viewpoint of Beis Din on this particular issue. If it's not unanimous, so then we're not eligible for the Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibur. Okay.
Which means that everybody has to be in Yachid.
That's a great question. I don't know the answer. What Hedy's asking, then what happens if you don't have a unanimous position? Meaning we don't have the Parhelm Davar, then what? The individuals have to bring a Karban Chatas. It's a good question. The Gemara does not discuss it. I don't know. Amar Ravuna Bereid Dervoshi Achinami Mestabit Debechol HaTorah Kula Kaimelan Ruba Kakulo. And the Gemara says, and look, I'll tell you what, it's conceptually, maybe we can understand it, but just from a textual standpoint, it actually makes sense. Because generally speaking, I know the principle of Ruba Kukulo, V'hacha Ksiv Kol Ha'edah. And meanwhile, the Torah goes out of its way to say the word Kol over here. So why does it say the word Kol? Ho V'kacha Filo Heimea. It means to tell us that in this halacha, I need unanimous position of Beis Din. Every one of them. The Gemara says this is a really tough position to support based on Mishnayos. Tanan. Horu Beis Din. V'yada echemem shetau o tamid v'ray lo harav v'halach v'asa apiem. Bein sh'asa v'asa imahem, bein sh'asa v'asa acharem, bein sh'lo asa v'asa harei zeh chayev, mimnei sh'lo tala be'beis Din. Remember what we learned back in our mission yesterday's daf? What if I have either a member of Beis Din or someone who is fit to become a member of Beis Din, and they follow the erroneous ruling of Beis Din? What did we say then? He is not exempt from a karban because he does know better and he should know better. So the Gemara says, "Ha hu dechayev ha acher pater." Now only he's going to be obligated, but that would seem to indicate that anyone else would be pater. Va'amai halo nigmar hara. So the Gemara says, "Now wait 1 second. Well, that individual, meaning that member of Beis Din, clearly is not on board with the Pesach of Beis Din. And yet, what we're saying now is that that still is considered a ruling." So the Gemara says, "Hacha ben ma'iskin." The Gemara says, "What are we talking about over here? Kagon she'irchin ahu echad me'en berosho." The Gemara gives a really funny ukimta. The Gemara says, "Well, you know what that guy did? He objected, but only it was a silent objection. In other words, when they turned to him for a vote, he nodded his head, as if to say that he agrees with Beis Din, even though he doesn't agree with Beis Din." Now, it's really unusual, meaning if he doesn't agree with Beis Din, so he should speak up. And if he's voting yes, he should vote yes. Meaning this position of, I'm just going to sit there and nod my head, but really silently disapprove of their viewpoint, it's really strange. And in terms of the halacha, we're calling him now a non abstention vote, but we're calling him now part of the vote of Beis Din, where he now is counted towards the unanimous view of vote of Beis Din. I admit it's strange, but this is what the Gemara is suggesting. Tashma, the Gemara says, "Hora Beis Din v'yada echemem shetal v'amar lem toinatem hare elu paturim." If I have somebody sitting there in the Beis Din, almost to a person is all in agreement that chelo should be mutter, and one person is sitting there in the Beis Din saying, "No, you guys are wrong." So under those circumstances, that Beis Din is going to be pater. Now, time adam alam toinatem de paturim. Now, that's because someone vocally is trying to object to the Beis Din. Hashasik mishtik chayavin. But if such an individual was quiet, so even and he's not protesting, so under those circumstances, they're going to be chayav, even though I don't have a unanimous vote. V'gamala rava amai haloho rekulan. I don't have a unanimous vote. So Amri Hachinam, it could go Shehirchen Barosha. Again, the Gemara suggests that the Ukimta over here is where he is not strenuously objecting, and he's also not voting yes. He kind of just nodding his head. Mesiv Rav Misharsha Samchu Rabbi Sen Al Divrei Shimon Gamliel Val Divrei Belazer Rabbi Tzedek Shayu Omrim. So we rely on the opinions of the Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Rav Elazar Rabbi Tzedek. They say and goes in Zero Latzibor Elim Kain Rov Hatzibor Yecholam LaAmod Ba. A very overarching rule as it relates to Gzeres de Rabbanon. We spoke about this back in Masechta Avodah Zarah in the second parak, that you only, Beis Din only issues a Gzeres de Rabbanon only if the majority of the people can handle the Gzeres. The Amar of Adamai Krabbe Meiratam Na'arim Vosiat Atem Kovim Hagoy Kulo V'Hahacha. Now over here in the pasuk that we just quoted Malachi, Yechsev Hagoy Kulo Veruba kakulo dami. Even though the pasuk says the word kulo, you don't need everyone. You just simply need a majority. So you see that the word kol can actually mean a majority, not everyone. To yufta derav Yonasan to yufta. So the Gemara says okay. So after all said and done, we do not accept the point of Rav Yonasan. In order for a Beis Din to issue a ruling, I don't need every member of Beis Din to be in agreement with that ruling. I can have dissension. I can have people not voting in favor of that ruling, and still that's considered a ruling. Finishing up to the Mishnah, Ve'alamai kol adas, dekamer rachman ha'achi kamer. So what do I do with kol adas? I'ika kulam havi ora, v'ilo lo havi ora. Kol adas just simply means I need every member based in there. Meaning, in order for a ruling to be ruling, I need everyone to be there at roll call. Okay, so when I'm taking attendance, every member of Beis Din has to be there. Does everyone have to agree with the ruling? No, I just need a majority to agree with the ruling. But in terms of the issuing of the ruling, everyone has to be there. Amar Rav Yeshua, Yud Shioshim B'din, Kala Talo B'tzavar Kulan. So Rav Yeshua says that if I have 10 people sitting in judgment, again, there are funny numbers that we're using today. 100 judges, 10 judges, okay. When I say funny, I mean it's even. But still, the point the Gemara is making over here is as follows. If I have a panel of 10 judges and they're ruling, so how much of them are going to take responsibility for the ruling? Each one is going to take their fair share of it. Meaning that if they ruled erroneously and correctly, so each one of them is going to be shouldering the responsibility. So the Gemara says, now that seems to be obvious, right? So the Gemara says, no, even if you have a student over there who is not actually sitting on the bench, but he's in front of his Rebbe, so he also is going to take that responsibility. Remember, the student, if he feels that, he has a point to make, so he should make that point as well. Rav Huna, ki have nafik lebedina maise asara, tanai debe rav lekame. Rav Huna, whenever he would go to court, he would make sure to have at least 10 people, 10 of the students coming along together with him. Ki hechi de nimtin shiva mikashura. So to help shoulder that responsibility, meaning it's an awesome responsibility, and to help shoulder the responsibility, he would have other people coming with him. Rav Ashi, ki have maise tarfasa lekame, maise asara tabchim in mas mechasya umosiv kame. When Rav Ashi would ever have to rule on a treifa, so he would have 10 butchers coming with him to help him rule on the animal, whether it's treifa or not. Amar ki heichi denimten shiva mikashur, and again, to help shoulder that responsibility. It's such an awesome responsibility. If they're incorrect and there is liability, there is responsibility, it helps shoulder the responsibility. Now, I say responsibility. Am I talking about financial responsibility over here? Am I talking about spiritual responsibility? Maybe I'm talking about both. Quite frankly, I'm not sure. But in other words, it helps shoulder that responsibility. Okay, I'll stop today. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at the Mishnah.